Well, just.
Hi, my name is Gail M. And today's date is April 14th, 2014. And I would like to share my experience, strength, and hope. Give you a little background about what it was like before I got to AA. And all I can say about my childhood is that I was thinking about it last night, actually. If I had to sum up, you know, what it was like, I would have to say from a very, very young age, I was full of fear, anxiety, depression, and I had no idea. I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know what, certainly that was my problem, but I certainly had a problem long before I picked up alcohol. And, you know, I was always, it was like doomsday every day until I turned 16. And at 16, I was hanging around with people older than myself, and they were able to acquire alcohol. And it turned out to be something that was not very pleasant to taste, but it certainly did the trick. And so the alcohol in waiting was born. I truly believe that I had all the isms before I ever picked up a drink, and once I fueled my body with that drink, I was off and running. So I knew from that very day that was the first day at 16 that I could live in my body. Because up until that time, from the moment I got out of bed, I had to be moving. I was running, playing all sorts of sports, cheerleading, doing anything that kept me on the move so that I could pass out at night and not feel the feelings that I had, because I was just tied up in knots with fear. So that first drink was magic, and it took away all the fear, doubt, insecurity, the anxiety. All I could think of was, where am I going to get this magic again? And so I sought people older than myself that would buy for me, and I drank as often as I could, and not knowing anything about alcoholism, not knowing anything about compulsion or addiction or any of those things. And had I known, I don't know that that would have stopped me anyway, because this was the magic that was going to get me by in life. Mm. And my dad died when I was 7, and my mom and I didn't get along, so I got married too young. I was 19 when I got married, just to get out of the house. We both drank. He didn't seem to have the problem of alcoholism, but I certainly did. And, you know, that marriage was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And even though I thought I loved him, I didn't even know what love was. And I certainly didn't love myself. So we proceeded to have 2 beautiful children, and while I was pregnant, I did not drink, and I thought that that was the answer, and I thought you know, this child was going to make all the difference in my life. And after I had that baby, I was just so happy and wanted to be a good mom. And 6 weeks after I had her, I was drunk. You know, I picked up, and what I've learned in AA, I've learned so much in AA, that very first drink is the one that gets me drunk. And I did not know that, because once I pick up that first drink, that compulsion gets fired up in me, and I have to have more. I simply have to have more. I have no control over that. Once I have that first drink, I have no control where the next drink or the 10 that follow are going to take me. And I didn't want to do that to my child. She deserved better than what I was giving her, so I got pregnant again. Because I thought, wow, this is working. If you have babies, you don't drink while you're pregnant. And same thing happened, you know. I didn't drink while I was pregnant. Things got better because I wasn't drinking. But, you know, I was still needing a lot of help. And I had no idea how sick I was. And so after she was 6, 8 weeks old, there I was again, you know, drinking and getting drunk. And my life went from bad to worse over the course of my drinking. I drank for 23 years, and it certainly didn't get any better at any point. It definitely got worse. And so I thought that my husband was the problem. So I decided on my 29th birthday that I was going to quit smoking, quit drinking, and get a divorce. And I had no idea that I was the problem. You know, I am my only problem, but I did not know that then. And so I commenced to quit smoking, which I never picked up again. I got a divorce and became a binge drinker. And I would stay away from alcohol for 6 months, a year, you know, but when life got really tough, I'm an alcoholic and I needed relief, so I would pick up that drink. And sure enough, one is never enough for me. I'm an alcoholic, and I would get very drunk and I would swear I would never do it again. And yeah, I'd go on my merry way for another six, 8 months, you know. But in that time, I became a long-distance runner. So I was, excuse me, I was getting my drugs. If you run long and hard enough, the endorphins in your body release. So it's like having tranquilizers. And so that I substituted running for drinking. And but even so, when things got really, really rough, I resorted back to the alcohol. So my life continued to get crazier, more dysfunctional. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I became, excuse me, I became so frightened that if people knew what my thoughts were and how I felt, they would take my children away from me. And that scared the living daylights out of me. That really scared me because I loved them. I just loved them so much. And so I remarried, and you know, I know today that dysfunction meets at dysfunction junction. And you know, water reaches its own level, and so being a sick person, I attracted another sick person and didn't know any of these things before I got to AA. And so of course that marriage didn't work, and he was a drinker, and after we divorced he crashed on a motorcycle and died. And did that stop me? No, I remarried. Because codependency is also a big part of my story. And so we were married, and didn't know that he had problems with alcohol. I certainly knew that I shouldn't drink, but that didn't stop me from not drinking when things got really rough. So 2 days after Christmas, he and I had a huge argument over my ex-husband, the father of my children, and who was dropping my kids off after visitation back to us. And my husband at the time and my ex-husband had words, and they got into a scuffle. And my present husband had been drinking all day and was also a hunter. And we had his rifles in our apartment, and things just escalated to such a insane place that my present husband went to the closet and drew out one of his rifles and went out on our balcony. And as soon as I saw the gun in his hand, I knew that something catastrophic was going to happen. I was just beside myself. And I started screaming at the top of my lungs, and my ex-husband heard me, thank you God, and came back through our apartment. And by that time, Jerry, my present husband, had climbed up on our balcony, and he had the rifle across the front of him, but he was sitting on the ledge of the balcony, and I had the barrel of that gun in my hand, and my ex-husband had the butt, and we were begging him to let go of the gun. Please let go of the gun. Please let go of the gun. But, you know, he did not. And he pushed himself off the balcony, and when that gun and he hit the ground, it discharged and it killed him. So I think that this was a little over 32 years ago. Excuse me. And the insanity and the tragedy of that experience was just something I can't even put into words. And what that did was my daughter, who was 16 or 17 at the time, was pretty heavy into drugs and alcohol herself at the time, and she ended up at Spofford Hall. And I am just so grateful. I am so grateful for the experience at Spofford Hall, because they encouraged the family to get involved. And the only reason I got involved was because I didn't want my daughter to have a life like mine. I did not want her to live the insanity that my life was and had become, even beyond insanity. It was just, it was horrific. And they encouraged the family to get involved, so I chose to get involved. And I went there as an Al-Anon person, because I wanted to help my daughter. And I have learned so much about this disease of alcoholism. I started to get educated while I was there in Spofford Hall. I learned that this is a disease, and because I always considered myself a very sick person that didn't deserve anything because of how my life had evolved. And you know, they gently told me that this disease of alcoholism, that there was something that could be done about it. And they started teaching me some of the things that I needed to do if I wanted to climb out of that very, very deep, dark hole that I had ended up in. And alcoholism is a tricky thing. It's a very, very tricky thing. It can kill you slowly. It can kill you as it did my husband. It can kill you, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually. It's a killer. I know it's a killer. And so being the desperate person I was at the time, I normally, before then, would buck authority, certainly not take suggestions. You know, I was defiant. That was fear-driven. I know that today. My defiance was definitely fear-driven. But I was so broken. I was just so broken. And so after a week of learning that I wasn't a bad person, that I was a sick person, I went to my counselor and I told her, you know, I'm an alcoholic. And she said to me, well, why didn't you tell me? And I said, because I didn't know. I simply didn't know. I knew that I shouldn't drink, but I thought that if I ever told anybody about how I felt or some of my thoughts, they would lock me up. They would just lock me up and throw away the key, and that scared the living daylights out of me. So that's when, on my mother's birthday, I said for the first time that I was an alcoholic. And so I stayed another week at Spofford Hall, which was really a godsend. And I learned more about alcoholism, and I learned more about what I needed to do to better my life. And so I took all that knowledge and left Spofford Hall scared to death, because that was a very, very safe, that was the first safe place I had been in that I could remember, ever. And so it was very, very hard to leave. And but I knew that if I did what they told me to do, that there was a possibility that my life would get better. And so they suggested I get a sponsor and that I go to at least 3 AA meetings a week, and that I do at least 2 Al-Anon meetings a week and see a therapist. And so that's what I did. I got a sponsor, and she went to an awful lot of meetings, and I thought to myself, oh, the poor dear. but you know, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And the beauty of AA is, if you're new or coming back or just testing out the water, you know, the beauty of AA is if we show up, it will get us. And in the beginning, that's all I was able to do. I would just show up. And I would listen, and I would look around the room and see people that were, you know, excuse me, living very productive lives. They seemed happy, and I thought, you know, if they can do it, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe there's hope. So I went to two-step meetings a week for years, many, many years. And I worked the steps. I try to live the steps to this day. It isn't something that, you know, you do for me. It isn't something I do once and I've done it. The steps are something I have to do for me on a daily basis, because that's what has given me a life. I don't feel as though I had a life before I got to AA. I believe that I was just surviving. And surviving isn't enough. There's so much more to life. And once I started feeling better about myself, because the people in AA loved me until I could love myself, until that day happened, you know, which I am just so thankful for. This AA program is just the best thing that could have ever happened. Absolutely the best thing that could have ever happened to me in my life. I know that when I first started coming around, I would hear people speak at meetings and they would say that I'm so grateful to be an alcoholic. I understand what that means today. I understand that without this program, the guidelines, the steps, the love that we all share for one another, the acceptance, the non-judgment, it's just the most beautiful program that I could have ever wanted in my life. So today I can honestly say that I am grateful to be an alcoholic. I truly am, because I wouldn't have this life that I have. But I'm going to backtrack quickly for a few minutes. After about 24 years of good, contented, solid sobriety, you know, never thought about picking up a drink, was productive, happy, for the most part, joyous. You know, all the promises that we hear at meetings had come true for me. And I have, again, as I mentioned codependency earlier, I have to be very, very careful of that, because my youngest daughter, who started having children very late in life, had a little boy who has autism, and he was a very, very difficult baby, and I thought that my daughter was just going to fall apart and possibly have a nervous breakdown. So instead of taking care of myself, which is one of the number one suggestions that we hear in AA and Al-Anon for that matter, that you know, if I'm not taking care of myself, I have nothing to give. And because I was so wrapped up in trying to help my daughter and my little grandson, I got away from meetings. And it didn't take long, not with my background. You know, I slipped away from meetings. I didn't have my network. I hadn't spoken to my sponsor in a very long time. And I was so afraid my daughter was going to have a nervous breakdown that what ended up was I had one for her. Because after staying away from meetings, I was driving home from vacationing with them a day before they left. And I was on the highway, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and I was thanking God for all he had given me. And every day I would, you know, get on my knees and ask the God of my understanding to keep me away from a drink or a drug, which he did. Even though I wasn't going to meetings, I still kept that up. And so I'm driving home from this vacation, and I see this man on a motorcycle who was totally out of control. He was speeding, he was swerving, he wasn't steady on the motorcycle, and I said out loud, "Oh my God, he's going to kill himself." And what happened was, I no sooner got that out of my mouth, and he was dead. He was laying dead in the middle of the highway, and all traffic had stopped. And what happened in that moment was, I got triggered back to the horrific death of my husband. And it was like going back to that experience, like it was fresh. And I had no support. I had no support. I had no program, I had no sponsor, I had walked away from this God-given program that had given me so much, and I got so triggered that I ended up in a hospital for a week. And when they interview you at the hospital, they ask you about your background, and I told them that I was an alcoholic, and they asked me how many meetings that I went to, and I told them I hadn't been to a meeting in 2 years. And it was like the awareness of myself saying that out loud was like, what have I done to myself? What have I done? So from that day forward, I came back to AA. I was a mess. I was an absolute mess, and I can't say strongly enough how much worse that was for me coming back after having such a wonderful stretch of sobriety and peace, how much worse coming back that was. Even though I hadn't picked up a drink, it was worse than when I first came into the program. So I know today for me that this is a one-day-at-a-time program. I know today that the first drink gets me drunk, because once I pick up that first drink, I have to have more. I have the disease of alcoholism, and it sets off a compulsion in my body that I have no control over if I pick up that first drink. And so today I keep myself in that number one spot. I do at least 4 meetings a week. I try to stay active. I have a sponsor. I am a sponsor. I stay right in the middle of the AA program because that's where the magic is. That's where the magic is for me. And it took me a year to get back on my feet after that breakdown. And truly, it was worse that coming back to AA that time than it was from the very beginning. It was just, I had to sit on my hands. I watched the clock. I didn't know whether I could last an hour without pulling a nutty. I mean, I was just a mess. And today, I know that if I don't take care of myself, I have absolutely nothing to give. And so I'm number one in that spot, number one at the top of my list. And I keep first things first, and I try to easy does it. And I just can't thank AA enough for all that it has given me. I have a life that I didn't think I would ever get back. And it certainly, you know, a lot of the sayings in AA seemed very, very corny and to me when I first started coming around. But I do have a life second to none. I do, and I will not ever, one day at a time, give it up again. And thank you for listening.